Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Church. What is a church? Jesus Christ Church is never just a museum for the saints. Jesus Christ Church is a hospital for the wounded. This morning, we mourn together. We grieve together. And we can bring all this to Jesus, because Jesus knows them all, and Jesus bear them all. Why? Because Jesus lived them all. This last Tuesday, I was on the phone with the faculty of Tyndale. One thing, I asked the brother to shorten the introduction of me. I'm actually an adjunct professor of diaspora study of Tyndale University and Seminary. So I was on the phone, and then while we were talking, bang, an email came. Marjorie Kerr, the provost of the university, sent out that email about Tim's passing away. And you can imagine, just like you, when you heard something like that, totally shocked, totally shocked. And we have a lot of questions in our mind, in our head, as to why, what happened, what the dickens is going on, and if you have foul languages, you can fill in the blank. God knows them all. It's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. And okay, even challenge God and say, why are you doing all that? God never chastised Job. God never chastised Habakkuk when they complained to the Lord. How long? How long? Why? But one thing for sure, our pastors are precious. They deserve our respect. They deserve our support. They deserve our love. And one of the major reasons why I'm here this week is to launch the report of study of 275 pastors at the Chinese churches in Canada. Somewhat unprecedented in terms of a study. Looking into the well-being, body, mind, and soul, as well as their leadership ministry, and see how they are doing. I thank the Lord that yesterday we had a session in Mandarin, and we have one more to come on the 16th in English, and it's going to be held at the Knight Street, Vancouver Chinese Church, 10 o'clock. If you have time, I welcome you to join us. This is not just simply for pastors. It is for their family. It is also for church leaders, congregants, denomination, that we can rally around them, help them. You may have heard about the following saying: as the leaders go, so go the church. And somehow this statement seems to be putting the leaders kind of on the highest pedestal, forgetting about God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power. But given all that, this is true. So let us pray for them, support them, and give them our utmost respect. This morning I'm here to share with you the title, Who Are You? Couple of verses from 1 Timothy. Well, I'm sure you had the kind of the same experience as I did. You know, during the pandemic, I didn't get a lot of time to go outside relaxing. So during the time with a lot of work, but very little rest, I was looking for kind of lift me up moment, right? Okay, so jazz me up, Lord, jazz me up a little bit. And one day I was surfing the web, and bam, I discovered the news that CSI Vegas, wait a second, you kind of look at me as, is it working? You're kind of going back, how come it's going back? Okay, it's the other side. How about if I raise my hand, you flip for me? Okay, CSI. Well, So I was sort of come across, you guys watch TV, right? Come on, guys. This is like, give me a little bit. Because if you want to go to lunch or whatever, you got to kind of, I'm not going to end without, you guys watch TV, right? You watch CSI? You know what CSI is? Crime scene investigation? No? Okay, so beyond your age. Okay, this is telling you how old I am. Okay, well. So it was started in the 2000, and then it make a comeback. And I love one of the spin-offs, CSI New York. Love it. Love the plot. Love the intrigue. Love the actor's wit and passion. They're great. And so I'm really looking forward to CSI Vegas coming back. But really, the thing I love the most is the theme song. Right? Anyone knows the band The Who? Well, you're from Georgia. Yeah. Next to Alabama. I was in Alabama a couple of times. You know, it was so funny, the accent anyway. So you know the band The Who, right? Only He, or some old guys, right? And the theme song of CSI is written by The Who. Who are you? Well, I'm not as good as the brothers, but I'm going to try sing a couple of times, if you don't mind. Right? Who are you? Who? I really, really want to know you. Who are you? Who? Why would you say that CSI picked this theme song? Because crime scene investigation, they're trying to figure out what's going on, who the victim was. Just a sidebar. We all know about 9/11 because tomorrow is the date, right? How many people die? Many. Do you know how many people actually get positively identified? Until a week ago, there was only one. Last week came back with two more. CSI is important, right? Trying to figure out who you are. And it is intriguing because I have been often confused by others as who I am. Am I Elder Enoch Wong, Dr. Enoch Wong, Pastor Enoch Wong, Reverend Enoch Wong, or just Brother Enoch? Well, is it all of the above? Well, one thing for sure, I have not been ordained, even though I have a license with the Alliance Church in Canada. So I'm not Reverend Enoch Wong, but I like to be called Brother Enoch. That's okay for me. And because of my English name, Enoch Wong, I have been often confused with this guy, Enoch Wan. Now, Enoch Wan, wait a second, he's a big shot, man. I mean, he's a well-known cultural anthropologist and missiologist. And he's a seminary professor. One day, back in 2015, I got an email from Ambrose University. I'm an alliance, so, you know, Ambrose is an alliance institution. And I got an email from the bookshop manager. He said, Dr. Enoch Wong, call me Enoch Wong, I understand that you're going to teach here in this coming term on, you know, missiology. Can you just help us understand what kind of textbook you're going to order? And one day, I attended, because I'm an alliance, they have, you know, every 2 years we have General Assembly. And the last day is really spectacular because we have Confession Day, right? Just like, offer me your confession, son. I can offer you God's peace, like the Holy Father. No, not like that. You line up, you go out and seek forgiveness. And so I said, you know, the couple of guys holding up the holy cup, and he said, you know, tell me your name. I said, my name is Enoch Wong. And the guy holding the cup immediately stopped. He said, before I give you the Holy Communion, I got to confess to you first. I was your student at the seminary. And when you taught, I often went to sleep. And I kind of smiled. I said, well, bless your soul, son, but you confessed to the wrong Enoch. Well, I don't even want to talk about my Chinese name. Even this morning, my student gave me a wrong Chinese name. I told him, if you hand in your assignment with the wrong name, I'm not going to accept it, right? I kept telling them, my name is Wong, not wrong. The left is right, the right is wrong. Who am I? Who am I? Well, Enoch is only your name. That's not you, right? That's not you. But what defines me? Is it the clothes that I wear? The collar around my neck? Or the title before my name? Who am I and who are you? And you may ask, why does identity matter? Well, in this day and age, it matters a lot, especially with all this sexual gender things going on. It matters. And more importantly, it matters because your identity actually tells your life story. I have a pastor friend in this town. His daughter grew up under a lot of pressure because as PK, you know what a PK is, right? As pastor kid, you're kind of being treated differently. And when he became 21, he decided to change her name because he did not like the life that she led for the last 20 years. She wanted to change identity because that her story was being looked down upon, being treated differently, full of pressures and suffering and whatnot. So identity tells your life story. For example, before I entered into full-time ministry, I was a pretty good management consultant. I kind of patting my back a little bit, right? Chasing human success, I don't want to tell you what is my daily rate, because if I tell you, you got to ask me to buy your steak, and I ain't got no money these days. My mentor was, Enoch is my name, fixing is my game. Huh? I am firm, but I am fair. My consulting company, EWCI, by the way, I still got a little business card here that carry that good old days, right? EWCI, Enoch Wong Consulting Inc., has a tagline, connecting the dots, turning strategy into reality. Wow, that's pretty big stuff, right? Consulting, careful, right? You gotta turn strategy into reality. So I implemented a lot of business strategy with financial institutions in Canada. And I got to be sent to cool places like Luxembourg. They don't say Luxembourg. Luxembourg and London and Paris to fix things. And that was who I was, Enoch Wong, the consultant. Enoch is my name. Fixing is my game. But identity also tells you the purpose in life and what you belong to. In my own research into the local born like yourself, Chinese Christians in Canada, there is a question that really puzzled them. This is my publication, and if you want to kind of look at, you know Church for Vancouver, right, that magazine? This is in Vancouver, right? This is last December, they published a review of my book, How Am I Going to Grow Up? And in that, I asked a lot of questions, and one of them is, who are you? Are you Chinese? Are you Canadian? Are you Chinese-Canadian or Canadian-Chinese? Or is it a hyphenated identity? And when I asked them, they all got confused by the question. What about being a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ follower? But going back to the scripture that we read this morning, let's take a look at Paul, the Christ follower. What about him? What about his identity? Or is it just Saul? Who is Saul and who is Paul? As we can see from the passage, Paul was very clear and explicit about how Christ coming into the world that has changed everything to do with himself, his identity, and his life, because that was completely turned around. For Paul, Christ coming to the world is a changing event that completely altered the fate of humankind. This morning, I want to look at three main characteristics of the key fundamental role that Christ played in shaping Paul's identity. These three characteristics are who I was, a life without Christ. I was the worst sinner, Paul said. Number two, who I am. I am a saved sinner because Christ came to the world to give us a new identity. Last but not the least, number three, who I am for. It's all about God. It's not about you. All about his glory, not about your fame, not about your success. Because when Christ came into our life, he gives us a new purpose. In this passage, Paul was extremely clear about his identity before he was a follower of Christ, when he led a life without Christ's presence. Earlier, we didn't read that, but early in 1 Timothy 1:13, Paul called himself, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." And then in 1:15, he called himself a sinner. He was a sinner, plain and simple. In fact, he called himself the worst sinner. Why did he call himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, the worst sinner? What did Paul or Saul do for him to have that self-recognition? Well, let's take a look. There are four aspects of Saul's life that stood out very clearly. And if you like, you can take a deeper dive into Paul's life by examining Acts 9, 22, and 26. These three chapters talk about his kind of basic bibliography. These four aspects are, in brief, he was definitely the leader of opposition of the way. What is the way? In the good old days, when the church was started, there was no such thing called Christianity. It was just simply recognized as the way, a special way, a different way, a way that is so different from the Judaism that Paul has to be the chief persecutor of the church. And not only that, he was no doubt the ringleader to persecute Christ's follower. And certainly last but not the least, he was a stout defender of Jewish tradition. It's like there are two identical letters that were seals on his forehead. I call them H and H, because Saul at that time basically saying to Christian, "I'm here to harm you and I'm here to hurt you." H and H. So he proudly did all that in his life as Saul. That was his name. That was his identity before Christ showed up in his life. But in a very extremely astounding manner, when Saul was on his way to Damascus, riding on a horse, because I'm the man, Enoch is the name, fixing is my game, right? I'm the guy who's going to hurt you. I'm the guy who's going to harm you. He's leading his team, going to Damascus, trying to persecute the church, seize Christians, and put them to jail. Bang! All of a sudden, there was a light shining upon him. And it was the famous life-transforming encounter with the risen Lord. Immediately, he was given a new identity. His name later on was changed to Paul. So in 1 Timothy, Paul said that he received eternal life. He's no longer a sinner. No longer the worst sinner. He had become a saved sinner. His life was completely turned upside down, and he was saved from his misguided zeal to bring down the church. And his sin was completely forgiven. His life was saved when he encountered the risen Lord. I'll put it in a much more clear manner. When Christ confronted him, when Christ intervened in his life, and when Christ broke into his life, Saul became a brand new person, a saved sinner to boot. He was no longer Saul. He was given that new identity when Christ came into his life. And that complete transformation of Paul's life reminds me of another famous Christian, someone we all know because we all sing his song, although these days when we sing Amazing Grace, it's kind of a modified version, right? It's not like a piano four-step, you know, like, it's very different, right? Amazing Grace. John Newton, we all know him. You see, shortly before John Newton passed away at the age of 82, he was losing his breath. 4 days before he died, he whispered to his friend and said in his dying breath, he said, "Although my memory's fading, I remember two things very, very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. Well, you may say, wait a minute, wait a minute. Your name is wrong, not Wong. Because what are you talking about? Christ is always a great Savior. I got that part. But how can it be Newton was saying himself, referring himself as a great sinner? What's so great about him as a sinner? I'm cool, man. I'm lit, man. Well, you got to understand, in the 18th century English, this is good old English, right? This is King James Version. The word great actually has a double meaning. It could also mean worst. So John Newton was basically saying, in our today's English, I am a terrible, terrible, terrible sinner, the worst of his kind. But Christ, oh Christ, Christ is the great Savior, the greatest of all. Although we cannot say that because there's only one Savior. There's no comparison, right? There's no great, greater or greatest. He and he himself alone, no one else, period. Now, you may remember that John Newton was actually a slave trader before Christ intervened in his life. And he would travel to Africa to ship slaves over to England to sell them. Newton described his life before he became a Christian as the ship's chief blasphemer, the loudest swearer, the man who mocked the Lord's existence. Let me repeat. I am the ship's chief blasphemer, the loudest swearer. Foul language is coming out. Four letter. Start with the F, end with K, and it's not a fire truck. No laugh. Okay. Forget about the stand up. All right. Okay. Okay. The loudest swearer, the man who mocked the Lord's existence. It kind of sounds like Paul does, doesn't it? It's Paul all over. And yet Christ intervened, came into this world and saved him. He was also a worse sinner. And yet, Newton, because of Christ, he became a saved sinner. So we can appreciate, when we sang the song, it kind of come out from our mouth kind of mindlessly sometime, right? Right? I once was lost, but now am found. I don't know about you. I don't know whether you have gone in a season of your life that you have totally lost your bearing, totally feeling that you are directionless. You are drifting. And then one day, the Lord holds your hand, bring you back, hold you tight and say to you, son or daughter, no worry, you are mine. You are mine. All because of Christ's amazing grace in saving. Now you may say that in this day and age, when pluralism and secularism and the sense of freedom are dominating our culture, we don't talk about sin, right? And I understand that because it is not only offensive, but the one who speaks could be perceived with the tone of being, I'm holier than thou, therefore I'm going to call you sinner, but I'm not kind of a stance. Now we need to recognize that we are all broken. We are all fractured. And we have offended the Lord just like everybody else in that manner. And in confessing that, we say to the Lord, we need help. We need you, Lord. And without you, we are directionless and we are hopeless. We know better than anyone else. Certainly not better than those with whom we speak. So we need to adopt a posture and a tone of humility, speaking first about how sinful we are and how much of a grace that the Lord has bestowed on us. And though grace is given free of charge, it is by no means cheap and costless, because Christ paid them all, knows them all, bear them all, lived them all, but he paid them all on the cross. And we are called to accept it totally free of charge. Now, there is a notion, right? When things are free of charge, then it's cheap. Not Christ's saving grace, brothers and sisters. And that's why C.S. Lewis reminds us, and I never really thought about that, because I always preach about the first identity of ourselves is actually children of God. But C.S. Lewis is so wise in his wisdom and reminding us when we first came to Christ, our identity is not just simply child of God. We are a saved sinner. But salvation does not simply give Saul, or for that matter, John Newton, a new identity. It also gives him a new purpose. In 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul, with his new identity, said that God has made him an example for those who would believe. Now, you may recall that after Saul was confronted by Christ on the road to Damascus, he was blinded by that light, right? He had to be led, his hand had to be held, and go into the town. And he was living in a street called the Straight. This is kind of funny if you think about it, the Straight Street, right? Later on, a disciple in the city called Ananias was asked by the Lord to go visit Saul and to place his hand on him and to restore his eyesight. And Ananias said, "Come on, Lord, what are you trying to do here? No way, Jose, you're trying to send me into the lion's jaw, lion's den, man. He's here to kill us and harm us. What are you doing here? What gifts?" But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel." Paul was to be used by God to bring God's own glory to others. He was used as a channel of God's blessing and message, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentile of all nations, to be the example of what it is like to live and to lead a new life in Christ, to be saved by Jesus, to showcase God's amazing grace, his wonderful salvation. Paul's life purpose was completely altered. He was no longer the H&H. He became the ambassador for Christ, AFC, relaying God's salvation message, not just by words, but through his life. In closing, I'd like to share with you a story. In Regina, there is a riverside cemetery. There's a grave that tells a very interesting story. The verse on the modest granite headstone of that grave read, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Matthew 11:28. But if you pay attention to the name of the headstone, it says John Doe. John Doe. Now, why was he called John Doe? This is CSI once again, right? Why was he called John Doe? Well, the problem is this gentleman's identity was never identified. And even his manner of his passing away is known because he was just found dead on the railway track west of Regina, if you know Canada, right in the middle. And he was found dead on July 28, 1995. No one really knew who this person was. "Who are you, John Doe?" Let's sing that song. Who are you, right? For the longest time, police and forensic scientists could not figure out his identity. Fast forward to 2021, and this is a news clip from CBC. It carries this article: "John Doe case in Saskatchewan solved with DNA evidence 26 years later." So finally, we know who John Doe was. But you see, that's not the story I want to tell you. There's actually another story behind this story. Now, you may not know this gentleman by the name of Bernie Vanderwell. He is a lead theologian of the Alliance Circle. He used to teach at Ambrose University. He wrote books on sanctifications and holiness and things like that. So he's pretty a cool guy. He's a leader in our midst, and you can see he's a diehard Saskatchewan Rough Rider jersey, a fan. You can see that jersey. I don't know how they are doing this year. I don't follow that. The only thing I know is that the Argos are doing really well. I don't know much about the BC Lions, man. I just feel sorry for you guys, but what can I say? What can I say? Now, Bernie now is one of the leaders. He's no longer teaching, but he became one of the district superintendent. The story went like that. Back in 1995, when Bernie was 16 or 17 years old, in his last year in high school, he had a part-time job in a local funeral home in Regina. And one of the bodies he was involved in was this case of John Doe. And like many who were involved in the case, Bernie was very puzzled about this man's identity, about who he was. And Bernie shared his testimony, in a way, kind of his story with us. He said, at that time when he shared with us, kind of earlier than 2021, he said, 26 years, for the longest time, no one knows, right? So over the year, Bernie was kind of still puzzled by that. And maybe Bernie's also like me singing the song, Who Are You, right? Now, a few years back, Bernie returned home from Calgary to Regina. He was still teaching in Ambrose, but his home base was in Regina. He went to the cemetery and paid a visit to John Doe, not paying respect, just a visit. Just kind of popped in his head, he wanted to see. And as he began to leave, so John Doe's here, he kind of walked a few headstones, and then another headstone caught his attention. Why? Because the name on that headstone actually was a friend of his. And you know, when you read headstone, right, it talks about when the individual was born and when the individual passed away. And Bernie was totally shocked because he realized that his friend passed away only a few days after John Doe. And then Bernie began to tell his story this way. He said, this guy is actually my closest friend growing together. When they were growing together, this gentleman and Bernie were involved in many what he called sinful activities. Now, Bernie didn't say what they are, but you can get a sense what they are, right? Bernie knew at the time their lives were heading into a very, very wrong direction and could lead to terrible consequences. Except shortly before the John Doe instance, Bernie somehow was invited to attend a church and later became a Christian. But his friend did not want to attend church with him. And at that time, Bernie's life began to change for the good, and he no longer socialized with his friend, and he no longer participated in any of those sinful activities. So you can imagine, 16, 17 years old, what are you doing in school? Not before long, Bernie lost contact with his man, and he had no idea where his friend was and how his life had turned out until on that occasion when Bernie kind of walked past John Doe and bumped into this headstone. And he realized that, oh, he passed away shortly after John Doe. He didn't realize that his friend also died young. Remember, Bernie was only 16, 17 when he was working in the funeral home. And he's kind of wondering whether he died because of one of the sinful activities. You can imagine. And when this realization suddenly sank into Bernie's mind, Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 15:10 showed up in his head. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. You see, Bernie could have easily ended up the same way as his friend did, meeting the same fate as his friend did. And they both were very, as they both were very involved in that kind of a lifestyle. But one fundamental transformative change showed up in Bernie's life that turned him completely upside down, completely around. And that is when Jesus came into his world. And that is when he was encountered by the love of the Lord. And then he obeyed and put his life and put his faith in God. Looking back, Bernie said that he completely realized that it was nothing of his own doing. It was absolutely by the grace of God. He is what he is by the grace of God. And God's grace to Bernie is not without effect. He was later on called into full-time ministry. He became a leading theologian in Canada, but he was and continued to be a humble servant of Christ. He is what he is, all because of grace of God. Folks, like Bernie and like all Christians who were born again by the Spirit of God, we are who we are, not by our own making. We pay nothing for the grace. Jesus knows them all. Jesus bears them all. Jesus lived them all. And Jesus paid them all. And because of that, Paul can say in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, I may have been the worst sinner, but Christ turned me around. Christ turned me around. So he can say. Can you turn it for me? So he can say, Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. And that is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So let me go back to the very first question, simple question we raised in this sharing with you. Who are you? Who am I? By God's transformative grace of salvation, you are who you are, a saved sinner with a new identity and a new purpose in Christ, for his kingdom, for his glory. It all starts when Christ came into the world to show his amazing grace and unselfish love to us all. And it is a gift that God has given us freely at no cost. So go and live out that identity as a saved sinner and live out the purpose of that identity to glorify God and expand his kingdom and be his witness. Because that is who we are. That is what we do. Thank you.
Friends, God is